You are such a humble guy, Cameron.
That's why I keep the partying.
We go through things as a country and as a nation. That when you switch that on in your heart, there's just no nation that can compete against that.
100%.
We've got Cameron Simon with us today. It's been actually quite an exciting morning already, Cameron. Yeah. And I know we're going to keep it English, but both of us are Afrikaans.
Yeah.
We've just got one Soti here with us.
One Soti, yeah.
Listen, we can praat. Actually, groot ons.
I'm just going to say this to you now so we don't have to go through this again. Your Afrikaans doesn't sound very good, okay? I mean, you sound like such a Soti, bro. You sound like my mom speaking English.
I think it's one of my favorite things when English people like speak Afrikaans.
Yeah,
like,
Joe man.
I mean, my wife is English, but she speaks to the dogs in Afrikaans, and my daughter as well.
Yeah, usually when you just shout.
Yeah, she sounds much better.
Curse in Afrikaans is much better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But Cammy, this morning we had a wonderful fitting here at Puma and Cobra this morning. So thank you to the guys for opening up their offices to us, and you're going to see in all the footage. What do you think of the space, Cameron?
It is mind-blowing. It's absolutely insane. And the venue itself is obviously beautiful, but the amount of technicality, like I knew golf was technical and I knew it came down to the tools like we were talking about, but I didn't know the amount of data you can get on the simulator and how you fitted me. It's absolutely amazing. So I'm just grateful to be here. I'm pretty average at fighting and I'm pretty bad at golf, but I think with the right clubs I think I'll be able to do 100%.
I'm super excited to see the difference and get that call and say, listen, I've just broken 80, or you know, hear how consistent your game is. And it's so awesome to see guys starting golf and improving and seeing the passion, and you definitely don't have short of passion. So super excited to see what lies ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it goes a little bit what you just said there is what we've been feeling the whole day. You are such a humble guy, Cameron. I mean, to even sit here and say, you know, I'm okay with fighting. I mean, luckily everybody that knows you, and I don't think that needs any big introduction today, you have literally brought, you and Drikus, in the last 8 months to 12 months, have brought the South African fighting to a forefront that it hasn't ever been at.
Yeah.
And am I wrong in saying that? Because there hasn't really been two guys like this at the top of the UFC, you know, which in our world is like going to the PGA, you know, and being a top 50 in the golf of PGA.
Yeah.
So just tell us a little bit. I want to know when your fighting started and how have you managed to keep this humble? And that's probably part of your success.
Yeah, definitely. I think a massive part, I think we are very fortunate to be at a stage, our team is at a stage where we have very good momentum. And I say team because, like, we go fight, we are in there as well. But most people don't see the 8 to 12 weeks of fight camp before that. So it's like medical personnel, it's sports doctors, it's coaches, it's extra sessions, it's rehab. You know, you don't get to see that. You see 15 minutes in the cage. So, you know, like we are the guys on TV, but there's a whole team behind that. And Team CIT is absolutely amazing. I've been with the team since I was 14 years old. They are, you know, Coach Mornay Visser, our head coach. I would not be in the position I am today if it wasn't for him. So I am very grateful to have the right people around me. And I think we're just going to continue to prove that CIT is the place to be if you want to make something in the sport. So it has been a crazy, you know, this time last year I was fighting for a contender spot to fight for a title in the EFC. And now we're sitting on our third UFC fight in the next few weeks. So I am very fortunate to be in this position. And it's also quite weird, just like we're traveling as well, and it's like, I can't believe the guys that I look up to, I might compete with against in the next coming months. So it's insane.
So before we just go into the golf journey a little bit, what does it feel like at the moment? Because you are up in the air everywhere. Everybody knows about you. You're such a talkability. Are you still living a normal life? Have you seen some big changes in the last couple of months?
I live the most normal, boring life that you can think of. I literally go to the gym, I go home. Sometimes I have like exciting stuff, like today is a highlight of my week.
Wonderful.
This is sick. But you know, I don't go out a lot. I go to training, I go home, and I like being in bed by 8:45.
So. Well, your discipline shows, because we were sitting here earlier and we thought we all need something to eat. So, you know, the normal unhealthy people, should we get pizzas?
Yeah.
And we had to reevaluate that order because we have a professional athlete with us that wanted something lean and mean.
Oh, yeah, but definitely, like, if I only had to eat after that as well, please have the pizza. I actually enjoy watching people eat junk food around me. because it feels like a mental win. Like, the moment you eat it and I'm not allowed to, I'm like, yeah, I just won that.
That's a good look at that. Because if I'm in that position, I'm like, I hate you.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
No, it's more like if my girlfriend has like a chocolate chip cookie, I'm like, yeah, eat that cookie.
Yeah. And I won't put anybody in the spot, but we've got such great supporters here from you on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
You've also got a team here in front of you.
Yeah.
Because that's why we'll skip a lot today of what gets discussed on your podcast a lot. You know, and we're going to be a little bit selfish and stick to golf a little bit today. But your podcast channel, what is that called?
The MSP Show. Yeah.
Please go and follow that. It's wonderful. I was last night.
I've just figured out what that stands for.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you? Yeah.
Just think about it.
I know exactly what it stands for.
So my Afrikaans is not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And last night I felt like, I was a 41-year-old man and I was just sucking up all of your content last night.
Awesome.
And I'm so proud of you. And also, what a wonderful, because you can judge a man by who he surrounds himself with.
Yeah.
And if I see the team that you brought in here today and who you surround yourself with, your parents and yourself, you can be a very, very proud man.
Yeah, thank you.
So now, golf, a little bit selfish here on our side. So what people don't know is, and we always say this, an athletic person, and especially on your level, we almost don't appreciate that you guys are so good at something that we have to do 20 years to get to this point.
Yeah.
You know, so actually, it's quite irritating.
Yeah.
I will be honest with you. I said the same about Skulk Brits. You know what I mean? You're a rugby player.
Yeah.
How can you beat me on the golf course?
Yeah.
You know, that's all I've done my whole life. But they managed to do it. So actually, what people don't know is golf is new to you.
Yes, it is fairly new. You know, like when we were in high school, I think golf was kind of the excuse just to go drinking.
Okay.
But I must say, Ruan van Schalkwyk, one of my good friends from school, is here today. And he was actually the first person that really got me into the sweet science of golf, like the technicalities and, you know, seeing how passionate and how professional he took the sport. Even if the rest of the guys were, you know, just playing for and giggles, you know, he was focused on improving his game, and I get quite obsessive with, if I enjoy something, I want to be really good at it. So golf in the you know, past few months really became a passion, because it's also a way that I can have an active rest day, and mentally it's almost the polar opposite of fighting. So it was quite a great way to have a release, and in that way, you know, be out in nature, get to see cool golf courses, and experience, you know, playing with, you know, Uncle JP is sitting here playing with him. He's a +2 golfer. It's absolutely amazing.
And a co-trainer with you.
Yes. He trains at Team CIT as well. So it's so cool to be able to play with guys that are very good at the game. And that is, like we just spoke about, like surrounding yourself with the right people. It's that, you know, so.
I'm sure going out on the golf course, just from like a mental break.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like you said, you've got an obsessive nature. Like, you would go from like 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock and train, and then what do you do after that? You can't just go park on the couch and just do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so you're keeping your body moving, you're getting sort of a different mental approach to something else, which I'm sure could benefit your mental side of your game, or your fighting, sorry.
Yeah.
Because it's total opposite.
100%.
You know, you can't really fight on the golf course. You can actually just try figure it out mentally, rather than, you know, like take a step back and say, well, okay, what do I need to do? And I'm sure you could relate to that on the into the cage.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of people that don't know the sport of martial arts very well, I think they kind of assume you fight angry. Like you need to get angry and then fight. You actually have to be very level-headed, because it is a lot like golf. It's a game of inches. If you go left where you should have gone right, it can cost you, you know. So it's about staying level-headed. And I think in fighting, you learn that a lot. You can't fight emotionally, but golf, you can't golf emotionally. No. Like then it just gets worse. So yeah. I think the mental aspect has been a massive, and I think the you know, like chunking a shot and then trying to work harder on the next one, I've learned a lot through another sport, which I can actually then pull into my sport, which is amazing.
So JB, tell me now, so you know, in golf we chirp our mates when we play. You know, it gets quite hectic. But how does it feel to play with a mate that can also kill you with your one hand?
No, I can definitely tell you it gets intense sometimes. At least most of the time I'm on Cameron's side, so it's usually us against the other teammates. Okay. In the pool.
You've aligned yourself well, sir.
Spot very carefully. Yeah, so definitely.
So how did you get him into golf? What was your sort of, and I know there's been a bit of hit and miss, you started in golf, but I mean, I know you've been a big part of that. How did that all come together?
Yeah, look, I started golfing with my dad, so it's been a big part of my life. I've known Cameron for a while now, he's been a mate from school. I always tried to convince him to come out with me on a golf course. One day he took me up on the offer. It was just, I'd like to say uphill, but it's a bit of downhill from there, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
But, first, it was just an excuse to have a bit of a draw, but like you said, we started taking it a bit seriously, try and get that competitive mindset, and that's how it started.
And tell me, what's the level of golf here? Who's the two, who beats, who's the competitive?
No, he is much better.
Okay.
We're going to start a thing, and I'm going to hold him accountable to that. We're going to start a Road to Pro series, because he is very talented.
Okay.
And I really think that he can play very well golf, and I think it's something that we're going to try and better with every week.
You need to come see me.
Yes.
That's so what we can. We'll make that happen. Let's start with the basics first.
Off camera, like I told you, like we would like to come to you next week, because I was super serious. I was like, yeah, just how serious I am about fighting, like he should get about golf, because I can see the passion and 100%. I can see the talents as well. So
even to sponsors that are perhaps listening, you know, this is such an incredible moment for you to get involved in this young man's journey here. You know, because you've got a great social media presence. And what I really like about it, and I can see your friends that they are so close to, it's organic. Yeah. You guys aren't trying to be famous. You know, it's the same for me and Arthur. We don't have the credibility to be famous. But you just want to present a good product. You want to talk about golf. And the reason we started this show is to grow the game of golf, but also I don't want to just hear from European and American voices. And again, they've done tremendous stuff for the game. And I think that's the exciting part also about the UFC.
Yeah.
When you now hear our accents, you know, it's like that World Cup moments, you know. And I all my mates, I mean, I just had Greg Bauer. I mean, I thank God I said to him, don't come through, because he would have just embarrassed us. But when I told him who was sitting here, he's like, where are you guys? I'm on my way. And he's also just so dedicated. And his wife was never into UFC until you and Drikas came onto the scene.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at the Formula One and why you now see all these reality shows in Formula One, it's because Formula One was a dying sport. Yeah. And then all of a sudden Netflix got involved, showed you the behind the scenes, which is something we can all relate to, and that grows the game or the sport.
Yeah.
You know, so it's such a wonderful thing for us to know that a young man like you and mates like yourself that come into the game of golf, we all benefit from it, and it drives the youngsters onto the golf course. Because I think, what was your perception of golf, you know, growing up?
I think we also chatted about it, like people overestimate their fighting ability, but I think it's much worse with golf. I think everyone thinks they can play well until you actually try and do that, and it's really frustrating, and you go home crying into your pillow. So it's really hard. When I started it, I thought it was, honestly, at first I thought, oh yes, this is a boring game. And then you actually, you get into, well, I got into the body mechanics, I got into the technicalities, and actually it's, I think it's your companions you play with have a massive role, because I can think of a few guys I never want to play golf with again. Yeah. But if you surround yourself with the right three other people, we have a WhatsApp group, the Three Putt Club. And we
why the three putt? Who's the putter there?
Because that's quite standard. So our WhatsApp group's name is Three Putt Club, and we try and organize a round every week or every second week. Yeah. You know, so.
Guys, just invite us. It will become a two putt group. You know what I mean?
That's literally what I brought Ruan with me, so we can just bring the average up a little bit today. So.
And tell me for... So I just want to talk about your fight a little bit, if you don't mind. Yeah. It's on the 9th of July?
Yes. So for South African time, it will be the morning of the 9th.
The morning of the 9th. Yes, yeah, because it's normally about 2 o'clock or so our time.
Yeah.
And who are you fighting?
Christian Rodriguez. He's an American. He has a 9-1 record. And yeah, he has a lot of hype now going into this fight. He beat Raul Rosas Jr., who is... you know, the youngest athletes on the UFC roster, so it's a great fight.
And how does it feel to get a clip of Dana White mentioning you specifically in a conference, a media conference?
Yeah, it's cool. It's like one of those things, like, I didn't expect it to happen at all, and then when it happened, it was really sick. Yeah, I think the whole contender series thing, I didn't know I was the youngest guy to compete for a contract. I didn't know he said that afterwards. After the press conference, he gave me a bottle of whiskey as well. He like ran into a storeroom, gave me a bottle of whiskey. So it was really, the whole experience was absolutely amazing. So I might never top that experience again, you know. So,
well, I want to say this, and Yippie, you can sound with my stem. But I think in 2-3 years from now, you would have had maybe another 150 highs like that.
Yeah.
There is just no doubt about that. I don't think you understand. And I must be honest, I think most youngsters at your age, which I think you are more level-headed than most youngsters your age, but they still don't realize. And when we say naivety, you know, naivety is also a strength.
Yeah.
But I know this so well, when somebody is, you know, maybe 20 years younger or 15 years younger and they give you advice, there's a phase in your life where you listen to it, you respect it, but you don't really put it into action.
Yes.
You know, because you're almost in your own journey. I know a little bit better, and I'm not assuming that of you. So it is really good to see how you handle yourself this morning, that you do listen. You know, and it's not about always listening. It's about, you know, saying, guys, there's a lot of experience around me.
Yes.
Take a little bit of that. But make no mistake, guys, we also get inspired by you guys.
Yeah.
We get inspired when I watch that, you know, you almost go in a little bit in your youngster years and you're like, he's 22, you 8-0, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're 22, 8-0, you're about to fight your biggest fight. It makes you feel pretty about yourself, you know.
My heart is racing just listening to this. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm not even right now. Like, I'm just picturing all of this happening, like, if it was me.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is just insane.
But yeah, I think, like, you spoke about naivety, and that's literally how I pursued the sport as a pro. I was like, yeah, I can do this. You know, I was naive. I didn't know what it was going to take, but I did think, okay, yeah, I like this. I can do this.
Yeah.
So there is a certain extent, there's a naivety when I say, like, anyone can do anything. Like, when he plays golf, I'm like, yo, you can. Because I actually, the reason why I wanted him to play professional golf is I wanted to caddy for him and just be so rude to the other players, because they're not going to fight us.
I can organize that with the click of my fingers. Let me know when you want to carry a bag and I'll find you someone. That's pretty simple.
Listen, I'll carry your water bottle to you.
And you know what, I'm sure everyone who's playing there would probably know who you are, and then you should just be the biggest death there. You just want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, get away from us. Like, go walk somewhere else.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I was also thinking with JP and them when they play with him. You know, the mates I chirp, you know, I can probably hold my own with them. But I mean, You don't want to take the chirping too far, you know, with this one in your four ball. You know, you might just walk away with that beautiful flop we refer to in South Africa.
I was driving and I was trying to think of something smart and funny to say at the same time. And I'm sure we know each other now, so we can actually joke around about it. And I'm like, okay, so what are we going to say today and make something funny? So I don't know if you've heard of the saying, four ways in, no ways out. So we're in four ways.
Okay.
There's four ways in, no ways out. This is like...
It's like the Boxburg and the Bologna.
You get what I'm saying. So I wanted to say, when was the last time you got clapped in four ways?
that's why I keep the partying to a minimum. I'm trying to save my status as well.
You know, keep it on the low.
But listen, we all know in South Africa, okay? Because his size could be deceiving. But if you see those ears, we all men in South Africa know, if you see ears like that, you run. I mean, the rugby players as well. I mean, you can, I promise you now, from a young man, I realized that. You look at the ears, and when you see those ears
running at you,
you tone down very quickly.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, you're like, okay, he's been through the mull a few times.
These ugly ears have a benefit as well. You know, so yeah, it's always weird because when I meet new people that also don't understand the sport, they're like, yo, do you play rugby? And they're like, I look at my own body.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Does it look like
I'm a lock?
Does it look like I'm a lock? Yeah.
Or a stit?
Yeah, no, not at all. They were like, stwee, yes, I wrestle sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's basically what we try and sell them. Yeah.
Just a random question off topic now. I know you don't party much or go out much, but do you find, it's random now, but do you find like, you know, you get those people who go out to look for
Yes. Yeah.
You know, do people...
Challenge you
or come to you and say like, okay, I'm going to teach this kid a lesson or something? Or do you think there's a total different approach to those type of people, you know, the guys that always look for fights, and they probably respect you because of your sport?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've had like maybe one handful of incidents or just like weird type of interactions with people, but mostly it's just love. I think we get a lot of respect for what we do. And, you know, I've never really had a massive problem with stuff like that. So, and if there is, then I'll just leave.
It can go really wrong because you're a professional fighter.
Yeah, 100%.
So technically you're not really allowed
but
to.
But also it's also part of their discipline.
Yeah, 100%.
They, you know, Mornay and them, it's part of the discipline of fighting. The more disciplined and professional, and actually the more dangerous you are, the actual more disciplined those people are. Because also their hands fall in a different category, you know, of it's weapons and not just the hands, you know, the whole body. But I find guys that are on that level to be quite the opposite of a roller, you know, that thinks he can roll
a box
you know, over the weekend. No, but I'm telling you now, you know, we might include this or not, but that's a discipline when I respect. You know, nowadays, honestly, in South Africa, I see it all the time. And they are guys that are fighting 5 and 6 and 7 on 1 and doing permanent damage for the rest of their lives. Yeah. We must stop that nonsense.
100%.
This nonsense of going out there and being brave when you're with 10 mates and stuff, I personally think that is the worst behavior you can ever do. You know, and I don't have the capacity, but that's the only time that I will stand up in a situation when that type of shit happens.
Yeah.
Whether I am the first one to fall or not, and probably am.
Well, if you take it from like an early age, we have a kids program as well, Little Legends, where we have martial arts. We teach it to kids ages 5 to 13, and then they go into our high school program. But if we have a lot of parents calling us, and they're like, listen, we have a bit of a problem. My kid is bullying kids at school. They were like, great, we want those.
We
want to recruit them.
Bring those.
Because you just channel that energy somewhere else, you know. So if you have your brawlers and stuff like that, it's great to have that. Just come to the gym.
Yeah.
Do it there, you know, in a safe environment under the surveillance of coaches.
Correct.
And will probably improve your technique as well.
Yeah.
So you'll look better doing it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Exactly.
Come to the gym.
That's so wonderful and it's so inspirational. So a youngster today, 14 years old, 13 years old, and we know as boys, you know, we go through a massive development in that time in our lives. And by just surrounding yourself with the wrong people, getting the wrong advice, your life can change quite easily in that time. Yeah. And it shapes you for quite some time afterwards. Mm-hmm. But for the youngsters out there at the moment, what would you put together in words to inspire them?
That's a very good question. It really does come back to trying to surround yourself with good people. But also, the people you surround yourself can only take you so far. Create healthy habits. Yeah. I think I also had very unhealthy habits that I had to try and work on. And yeah. You still have your odd thing you need to try and fix.
Yeah, your vice really, or yeah. your... Yeah, I know what you mean.
I do think it comes down to finding... It's hard, but finding a passion, looking at how you can contribute with that passion. You know, when I started fighting, I never thought that I could make a living out of it. I found something that I loved, and I tried to figure out how can I basically have this pay rent.
Yeah.
And if I can do my passion and just pay, have enough money to buy food, we're good to go.
Yes.
You know, so... So basically, it actually comes down to have very low expectations.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear you.
Be happy with what you have, be content with that, but also just try and follow that dream.
Yeah.
And I think if guys can do that, and with people around them, obviously, that's why I always say I'm very fortunate and very lucky, because I would not be in the position I am now if it wasn't for a handful of people that were there with me.
And I mean, if you look at it, sorry, Albert, you get these kids that play golf, you know, and they're watching the PGA Tour, European Tour, seeing all the crowds and the fame and the lifestyle, and they sort of try and work towards the fame, not necessarily work towards the passion of the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he doesn't lack the passion and the drive.
Yeah.
You know, keep it simple, stupid,
zero
expectation or low expectation, and literally ride the wave of enjoyment of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crucial.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of friends and people that I know that have worked towards it started out as the passion, and then you almost see the benefits in being good at something.
Yeah.
And then with that comes, you know, finances, fame. Like, people that chase fame, that's like the dumbest thing in the world.
The dumbest thing ever.
Because it's exhausting, and it sucks, and it's actually super lonely, you know. Yeah. So follow, if you have something that you enjoy doing daily, I cannot wait. On a Sunday, I'm looking forward to a Monday because I have a full training week ahead.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. So if you can find whatever that is, and you can work towards that, then I think you're on the right track.
And again, your friends can interject, and I don't want to assume here, but what I'm so impressed by, and not just impressed, so inspired by what you're doing today and what you're saying to us today, is that you don't care to look successful by driving a Range Rover.
Yeah.
You care about putting it into action and putting the results there.
Yeah.
You don't care that somebody says you drive this or do this.
I'm here, my fee goes.
So. I mean, Arthur, it is so important, because people get themselves in debt at young ages for egos. And I can tell you now, and JB, you and Arthur can be with me on this one. Nowadays, I'm more impressed with the guy that drives a good car, and I always say keep it clean. You know, don't let it look like a complete... but keep it clean.
Yeah.
But I'm more impressed with a guy that skunkle donkles in here and he started a business, or he's motivated to do something else, than the guy that walks in here and he drives a Range Rover, and I say to him, can you give me 10 grand as an investment? He can't pull that out of his ass.
Yeah.
You know, the whole world has changed.
Yeah.
And the youngsters need to understand that the guy that walks in and he's in the office and he's stable and he doesn't care that he's, you know, Gucci. And I made this summary, and sorry that I made this summary the other day. So here's a guy who sits with Louis Vuitton. That factory that makes it is the cheapest factory that can possibly make clothing, gets made for Louis Vuitton, on a labor force that isn't even paid properly. Here's the guy on the right. He's got a South African brand on. It's not Louis Vuitton. But that brand employs 50 people in South Africa. That's far more impressive to me, support that brand, than to look like you driving around with your gold Louis Vuitton.
I just want to interrupt there quickly. So I walked into them driving in. Now, I never label people.
Yeah.
but I was thinking, okay, here's a guy that's probably going to drive in with like a GTI or a Ford Focus ST, like something someone at your age would drive. Yeah. And there's this oak rocking up in the Ford Figo, and I was like, okay, this is going to be a great day, because I knew I wasn't going to have to entertain someone pretentious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This person's pretty real. I hope you take that with respect.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But it was off the get-go, that was just amazing for me to see, you know?
And your reputation is exactly like that, Cameron. I know we're a little bit under time constraint today, so we'll finish it off there. But you, we wanted you here because of the people around you, of how humble you are. And I really say this with a lot of love, because I know Uncle JP's also sitting there in the corner. Sponsors and people are not attracted to a to a guy with attitude that does nothing for no one. And if you're going to have any inclination towards that, you better have a few titles behind you.
Yes.
Yeah. And Conor McGregor got away with that.
Yeah.
Because of what, if he had no results, he would have just been a cocky
mofo
out of Ireland. You know what I mean? He would have just been an Irish stupid, but he performed.
Yeah.
And he did what he did. And I, at the moment, he's in a bit of a phase that I just want him to go a little bit more the humble side. It's just a personal opinion, because he can inspire so many people. But you and Drikas have done tremendously well.
Thanks.
And to Mornafis and to the team behind you, everybody that sits behind you, the people that are supporting you as well, in sponsorships and in finances, you know, you are no doubt going to be a man that will stand on its own feet for the rest of your life.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful for everybody in a time right now that you do need that support, that people are there to support you. So thank you to everybody that does that for you.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for taking the time, all of you guys here, for being here this morning.
Yeah.
It's so nice. I feel so much younger after today. It was so nice to see you guys, how you interact and operate. You know, and I don't want to say I'm a bully, you know, but I'm 41 years old. So it's really wonderful me to see what you guys do. And we bless you guys. We bless you, Cameron,
thanks,
and your whole entire team and your hands. And you must know, I don't want to take away anything from the Springboks, but on the 9th, that morning at 2 o'clock, there's going to be no difference. You know, it might not be a billion people, but there's going to be no difference in how we see the Springboks going up to the finals and you and Drikas going and performing that day.
Yeah.
There's no difference for us.
Yeah, that's weird. Like,
I mean,
that's
but that's what you need to know that. I mean, my mates and I, Greg and Otofi, I mean, I shouldn't have mentioned his name because that will bring this podcast down. But we have already, that's what we're planning. Okay, where are we going to watch it? How is this going to happen?
Yeah.
We are up to about 20 people that's going to have a watch party.
Yo, we're going to have some tired and sick people on Sunday.
We will, but we don't care.
That's going to be rough.
We don't care, and we'll have a beer. Yeah. I don't know if it's a continuous from the previous night, or we'll wake up fresh at 1 o'clock and we'll have a beer. We'll have one of those for you.
Yes.
Correct.
Uncle
and
JP,
you must also know,
well,
there's going to be people that's going to go into 1 or 2 minute silence for you.
Yeah,
to know that we pray that your brain stays with you, your hands stay with you, and no injuries whatsoever. And on a side note, that you smash that eye.
Oh, that's,
you smash
that's
it.
That's definitely part of the plan.
You know, and you know how the Springboks feels. And that's what I always say, they can't compete with South Africans. So skill, even in golf, on the top 150, and Arthur knows this more, they all have skill. It's the mind.
Yeah.
Every one of them can swing a golf club. But there's one thing no one can compete with South Africans on. We go through things as a country and as a nation that when you switch that on in your heart, there's just no nation that can compete against that.
100%. Yeah.
So thank you for your time here today. And Arthur, thank you very much for yours as well. And we wish you all the best in your golfing journey. And very importantly, into your fighting journey.
Awesome.
From here on.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for your time, Arthur. Thank you so much for the club fitting. That was so sick. And we'll see you next week.
100%. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
Yeah, we'll finish everything off. And thanks for your time. Yeah. Thanks for your humbleness.
Thanks.
thanks for bearing with us today. I know it was a long day.
Yeah.
Still got to drive back to Pretoria and train.
And still train, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And just so you know, when you have your fights, we're backing you.
Thanks.
Full on.
Awesome.
And whether you win or lose, I don't like to say that word lose, but you still are a great human being, and I know it's going to go really well for
you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And tell me, Arthur, I want to thank you also for the fitting, man. Thank you for taking Cameron through it, buddy.
Oh, that's normal. That's what I do every day.
I know. But both of us, you take away time also from your business. So thank you very much for doing all of this. Awesome. We appreciate it. And to Tim and the team and everybody who was here this morning, and Uncle and Tani there, I'm not going to say your names too publicly.
Now we know they're going to Las Vegas. We're expecting gifts when they come.
Yeah. T-shirt. We should have kept that quiet.
Yeah.
Yes. And then lastly, from my side, for Puma and Cobra and the team there, I think...
We were already...
He's gone. He's sitting over there.
He's already waiting for his fitting. So.
Don, thank you very much for your space this morning and for opening up your offices for all of us and for your entire team. You guys are a great host, so thank you very much to all of that.
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
On the next episode of the Human Golf Show.
There we go. That's much better.
The purpose of the fitting is to tighten up. You are an athlete.
With what Arthur was saying there, so if we compare both, so you never ever want a dispersion to go like this.